The Personnel Legislative and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting, July 10th, 2018, 6:30. Item number two, Notification of Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the director will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and will ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Item number three, quorum call.
Caller?
Here.
Rumble? Yeah.
Here. Here.
Ben Jefferson?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. Have proof of publication and will become part of the permanent record tonight. Item number six, review and recommendation on addendum five to the Papio Missouri River NRD General Manager's Employment Agreement. John Winkler and David Klug, Board Chairperson.
Thank you, Director Conley. The recommendation, I spoke with a few of the other directors on this as well, for the General Manager John Winkler's contract under compensation, Section B under salary, is recommended for a 5% increase on his current base salary. And that sums it up. I think, I guess, just a little justification behind that. John, obviously, has been with the district for quite some time now, going on 12 years. I think he's always done a phenomenal job, along with the accounting firm. The accounts have been put in great order. Our audits come back clean, and he's done a tremendous amount of work with the Corps of Engineers in D.C. The amount of funds that he is going to be and has and will continue to save the district just through your efforts at the federal level and to make things more efficient there far exceed anything that we could possibly compensate you for here. You know, the joke of getting a percentage of that would be fantastic if we pull it off, but realistically, your services are greatly appreciated, and I hope you're happy with a 5% increase in your base salary.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
Did you want to make any comments?
No, I'll wait to the vote.
Okay. Anyone from the public wish to comment on this item?
Yeah.
Directors?
I was going to look up the number here to plug into that spot.
153.48.
Is that 5%?
No,
that's correct.
That's
current.
So the number is
161.7700.
Yeah.
This is why we have an account staff.
That's two.
Where'd you come up with, Chairman Cook?
153.48, right, John?
Yeah.
So 161.154.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other comments from directors?
I mean, it should be noted that our general manager is not the highest paid GM in the state. And actually, I think that's a shame because he certainly, in my opinion, does more than any other GM in the state.
Who is that?
Jasper Fanning.
Jasper Fanning.
Which he does great. From where?
From lower northwest, upper quarter of Nebraska.
Upper something.
We have a motion.
I got a question.
Does somebody else have it? John?
Other than the salary issue, is there anything else in this addendum that's a change, other than just correcting dates? And
extends the term to 2024 instead of 2019.
Just a date change.
Yeah, that's
just
a date change. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything else is the same as the last addendum.
Thank you.
The first addendum, draft addendum on the behind your gives the board discretion.
It does. That wouldn't apply, though. I mean, it doesn't apply unless you...
Right. I'd like to also express my full appreciation for the job that General Winkler has been doing. When you look at the success we've had with all of our projects, with the 408 permits probably going away, that just didn't happen because John went to a meeting or two. His skills and certainly his demeanor and the assets that he carries to this organization. It's I wish we could get more, but I think 5% is certainly reasonable. And like Director Teaser said, I've been with the NARD family for a long time, and to put it in perspective, I have no comprehension why general manager on the western edge of Nebraska could be compensated that much more. But that's, you know, we can't necessarily compare salaries, but we obviously have a good man, and I thank John for his work. And if I were to vote on this tonight, I'd vote yes.
I just want some clarification. When you say term ending November 30th, 2024, what exactly does that mean? Is this a six-year contract, or what is it?
It would be 5 year from my current. So we're doing it a year early, which we did the last time too. So the contract would, if the board chose, the contract would end that day, and my employment would end on that in 2024.
Unless it's extended.
Yeah, unless you extend it.
Is it auto?
Because I'm a contract employee, basically.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we need a motion.
We need a motion. A motion for staff recommendation.
Second.
Roll call.
There's no.
Well, that sounds good.
Public speak.
Yeah. Vote.
Excuse me. Did you give public an opportunity to?
Oh. Well, I did before we started discussing if anybody wanted to.
Okay, I didn't hear.
Discuss
okay,
it.
I voted yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi.
Oh, thanks.
Sure.
All right. I thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. I truly enjoy what I do here. And I'd like to thank all the employees, obviously, here, because they make me look good. And they do a lot of great work. And I appreciate all their efforts. And I've said it a million times. This is the best staff I have ever worked with, bar none. So thank you to everyone. And I hope to continue to keep the pedal to the floor and keep moving to get these things done. So I really appreciate it, and thank you.
We're adjourned.
Moving right along, we'll go into the program projects and operations subcommittee. Tim Fowler, you fill in for Patrick Leahy, please.
I think that's, I can do that.
Yeah, good. With that, calling the meeting to order. A copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the back of the room. With that, quorum call, please.
Fred Conley?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Teaser?
Yes, here.
Thompson?
Here.
And
here. Item 4 is the adoption of the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes, I have here an affidavit proof of publication of tonight's meeting notice. Now moving on to item 6 is a review and recommendation on the West Branch Channel Bank Stabilization Project bids. Martin Cleveland.
Thank you. First off, we'll start with some good news, and the second will be not so good news, but this is the good news first. This project is located near 108th and Giles Road. You can go to the maps, Bill. I can use that. Let's see here. It's probably a little hard to see, but Giles Road is actually up here, and this is called Portland Road, which Portland Road actually runs along an angle from 108th and Giles, which is up here. So there's actually two locations up in this vicinity, and then we go to the next slide. This actually is 96th Street and then Port Road. So they're essentially 96th Street up to 108th Street is where the work areas are at. A total of 1,500 lineal feet of Creek Bank would be protected at five different locations. And what we're doing is basically installing riprap along the lower flow channel of the creek bank where it's eroded. And it's usually what happens is the creek meanders. And so location is, this is one example. Channel slope, or we typically refer to this as a levee slope, but actually this is a channel. But there's actually a toe here, that 3-to-1 slope, and this is a low flow channel. So we're protecting, in this case, this eroded bank, which is, you can see it's very bare. And without doing that, eventually we're going to lose the entire channel if it continues. And so, again, this is another location down near 96th Street looking downstream. And, again, placing rock riprap on this lower flow channel. We've been doing this for a lot of years. The district has. I think eventually I'll probably have every lineal feet of the creek banks riprapped if I stay here long enough. It seems like that's a process that goes have to go through. We received on this project a lot of bids, a lot of bid interest, I should say. And so we received from six bidders bids. Three of those were actually new to us. We never had dealt with before. That's always a promising sign to see more competition. Low bidder is actually the new company to us. It is High Plains Enterprises out of Martell, Nebraska. So the next guess, the next test for you is, where is Martell at? It's near Lincoln. But they were low bidder at $366,894. Engineer's estimate was over here at $387,045. So they were under the engineer's estimate by about $20,000, and Nick's low bid was about $7,000 under the engineer's estimate. So I felt really good about the fact that we were close to engineer's estimate. There were, of course, some higher bids, but it's always promising to see someone that's not lower than, or that not lower than your bid. You want to be not the low bidder, in other words. In other words, engineer's estimate should always be the higher than the low bid, hopefully, if you've estimated properly. Again, this is a range of bids. Recommend that you go with High Plains Enterprises or Martell, Nebraska at a bid price of $366,894. We did check the references because they were new to us, and they've worked with a couple of firms I worked with in the past, TAB and TCW, and they actually five references were given to those two people I checked with I know real well, and they were very positive references. They're a newer company, but they had no qualms that they could do this work. So it's good to see another more competition for this kind of work going on. So I'll be happy to answer any questions you've got regarding this recommendation.
The chair to entertain a motion.
Motion moves to have recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Fenley?
Yes.
Yes. Now you've got the next item, Martin. Go ahead, please.
Right. This is the maybe the bad news part. If I can have Pat Engelbert join me. Pat's with the HDR Engineering. They designed this project for us, and they serve as the preparing the contract documents and handling the contracting for us. And so what we'll first do is go and give you a little locational information on this so you can see where it's at. And then we'll go back to the recommendation from Pat. This site is This site is north of I-80 on the Exarvin area, actually. It's probably the best way to describe it. So West Center Road's right here. It is south of Pine, north of West Center Road, north of Mercer Road. And it's right across the street or the creek from Blue Cross, building. And so what has happened here, and I'll give you some more pictures of where it's at again. This is Mercer Road. The work area is actually up in here. Stinson Park is down here. This is it's College of St. Mary, which is adjacent to the work area. So we're actually working on property adjacent to the College of St. Mary. Next slide here. This kind of shows what we're proposing to do. It's essentially is putting a sheet pile here to stabilize its slope, which is in the failure mode, and then also putting relief wells in here to stem the sample activity at the bottom of the stream. The next slide. This is a cross-sectional view that shows those features. Again, relief wells into the lower part of the creek channel. Looks like this is a sand boil, by the way. Talk about what we're trying to control. But go back to that slide again. So we're putting in 9 3-inch diameter relief wells, and it's new technology for us. I guess it's being driven in with a backhoe, which is kind of a new concept. And I'll have Pat kind of get into the details of what happened with the bids and maybe some of the logic of what's going on with this concept as well. But let me go back to his recommendation letter and see what was we asked HDR, Pat, to provide a recommendation on this bid because it was considerably higher than the engineer's estimate. And so he went and did some research into why things happened the way they did. And so may I have Pat go ahead and explain the project, what happened there.
Right. So just to provide, and Pat Engelbert again with HDR engineer, just to provide a little bit of background of the condition that exists in this stretch of Littlepinion Creek, there are pretty high groundwater levels or artesian pressures. And so you've got a pretty good thick lens of sand that's overlain by a thick clay layer. In this particular area, the clay layer has gotten pretty thin. And so the sand layer is under kind of high groundwater. And what happens is when those groundwater pressures are greater than that clay layer can hold down, a sand boil will develop. And what happens, that sand boil helps to transport material with the water up into the creek. So you saw a picture of that sand boil. When that happens, the toe of the slope gets washed away and the bank sloughs because of those artesian pressures acting behind it. So our mitigation was to install a series of relief wells to relieve or to intercept that artesian pressure and safely discharge it back to the creek. We also needed to solidify the toe of the slope, so we requested that a series of sheet pile walls be constructed in order to secure that toe. Now this is relatively new a technology to this area. Just upstream of us near Nebraska Furniture Mart, they actually have pumping wells, pretty good size diameter wells, pumping the water to relieve those artesian pressures. That location up there had been showing signs of the sand boil for decades. In this location, it's only been a couple years, so the sand boil is in its infancy. We wanted to intercept it early, and so we're going to try this technique, which all the calculations and the research shows should be effective in this spot. However, with it being relatively new, and some of the contractors may have been a little bit shy or nervous about it. Plus, working in and around those artesian pressures may have made them a little nervous. Given the instability of the channel, we kind of prescribed a pretty tight window in order to construct it, because once they start construction and they expose these artesian pressures, we wanted them to finish it pretty quickly. So in some of the interviews that I performed with the bidders that did not bid, they indicated it was a pretty short turnaround time between notice of bid and the pre-bid meeting. It was 8 days. And then we gave them 7 days in which to provide their actual bid. And they indicated it wasn't a lot of time to research, nor was it enough time to set up sub-consultants that could perform the construction as we had spec'd it. So we did receive one bid. It was a little over $900,000 to perform it. It was from an out-of-state company. Our engineer's estimate was between $250,000 and $300,000, so it was about three times what we anticipated. When we looked at the line items like mobilization and tree clearing and seeding, these folks' bid was about three to four times what we've been seeing typically around this area. And we think, given the short turnaround time, that they had their bid quite high. Also, in some of the interviews and discussions that Martin and I had with the subcontractors, we indicated if we were to go out, to rebid, and we provided more time to research in the line of subconsultants, would they be interested in bidding this job? And there was affirmative to that on two or three of the prospective contractors. So our view is, given recognizing that there was kind of a short time for them to research and turn around, and given that we are able to provide a little more time this time around, we think if we were to rebid it, we'd get two to three bids, and we'd have much better indication of where we stand with bidding this. So, any questions that you guys have, or I can go through any of the schematics as well. I'd be happy to.
Do we have a motion on the floor on this item?
No, Fred made a motion.
Okay. Anyone else in the public wish to speak to this? I've got a question for one of you guys. The pumping we're doing up by the mart, I had forgotten we were doing that. Are we running the pumps, or is somebody else doing it?
That's a Corps of Engineers project. The Corps is designed and is doing the construction observation up at that location.
Thank you.
We do inherit it, though. I mean, once the project's done, which is going to be probably end of this summer, it's going to be the districts now. They were pumping temporarily to draw the water down, but once they're done with this, the pumps will be shut off and there's no more pumping. Actually, right now there isn't pumping going on, but there was for about a year. That project, is a side note, cost several million dollars, and so of course still putting money into it to get things wrapped up, but it's been kind of a nightmare project for the last 10 years for the Corps and for us. But once that's all done, it's going to be owned by the district. And so, like Pat indicated, this is an earlier stage than that one was. Hopefully a much cheaper solution. Hopefully it does the same success as far as solving the problem. But it's a major concern when you have something basically collapsing and the creek bottom is going away. This is not a good situation. So at the MART, fortunately, the Corps was able to justify it because of the economics of the location. A lot of financial stuff near that location that justified it. Now, this location would probably be harder to justify for the Corps because there's no buildings nearby. There is the Blue Cross across the creek from it, but there isn't the college has nothing near the creek. So it's strictly, we need to solve this before it becomes a disaster for the district. So we're hoping this solution is a solution that we have, because we think this will happen to other locations along the creek. If we get an economic solution, that's really the long-term goal of staff. So we have something that's economical we can afford to do.
No,
do.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Furniture Mart project for the first time seeing that anywhere along our project. This is their third ride that started in early out. Their solution is so we're glad they moved that solution. We've learned a little. So this is the second one we're seeing. When you see a fan boil, it's in the bottom of the creek, it's not interesting trying to try it. And not trying to we think HDR is that.
Thanks, Marla. Any other comments or questions? Director Japp?
Well, I mean, these could happen anywhere along the course of the path. You could see multiple breakouts of sand boils. There's no way to know, I guess.
Yeah, what we found in a lot of the work that we've done up and down the little patio, these are artesian pressures seem to exist kind of like from Baxter Arena up to just north, pretty close to Cass Street. Mm-hmm. Once you get north of there, that we don't, based on the testing that we've done, we haven't seen those artesian pressures. Mm-hmm. But it seems like in that stretch, they're pretty prevalent.
When did this break out?
I think it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Actually, a troll user contacted us and said something looks weird in the creek, and so went and checked it out. So it was actually one of the users.
April 2016 is when that
pitched. They thought it was pollution.
Yeah.
Right. Director Fowler.
We can't be the only place in the country where artesian wells pull off up like this. Are we reaching out and seeing what other entities are doing? I know this was maybe new for the Corps to do this here in Nebraska, but have we reached out to anybody else and get lessons learned and figured that out?
Yeah, so Pat Hepsel, who's our lead geotech on this, did reach out to some of his colleagues on the West Coast as well as those kind of in the Denver area.
Yeah.
And that's how they kind of came up with this approach to try to arrest or to intercept the situation.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
This question is, All right, Nebraska Furniture, is that going to be continuously pumped?
No, it's actually gravity flowing out, so there's a discharge pipe going in the creek. So these three relief wells are pretty big. They're like 8-inch or 10-inch, and then they have a horizontal pipe that goes into the water. And so they actually flow out by gravity.
Okay.
You can pump them to make it more effective, but, of course, that's very expensive to pump wells, so we're letting gravity form its function. But the core had to, even after they did the well, they still had problems, quite honestly, so they had to go back and put rock in to do an additional weight on top of those annotation pressures. So it's been even as they started the second project they had to do another go-around to try to solve it. At this point in time, it looks like it's working, but you never know what crazy misbehave at any time.
Director Thompson.
Where was Geo Stabilization International located? Where are they?
Yeah, I believe they're out of Colorado, but they do geotechnical projects all over.
And by extending the time frame to submit bids, I hope we're going to get some additional bids. Well, you might get another bid from these guys, but is that going to get it down to near the estimate, or do we need to do anything else in the specs?
I think so. That's Director Thompson. That's a good question. There's a couple things that we are proposing to do at the pre-bid meeting itself. We're going to go through in a little more detail exactly what is prescribed in the spec, so they have a clear understanding of how these wells need to be installed and how the sheet pile needs to be driven. We are also evaluating if there's a different installation approach that we can do that will still meet the same need that we have to drive these wells in. So our guys are giving that another look to see if it would work.
And that would be in a revised spec and new RFP?
Yep. We would re-advertise that the bid documents are ready, and we would note any changes that had been made.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call on the motion, please.
I'm sorry.
Johnson.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Keiser.
Yes.
Fincher.
Yes. Thank you on that item. Now moving ahead to review and recommendation on Water Sustainability Fund Grant application for West Papillion Regional Basin Number 1, WP1. Amanda?
Thank you and good evening. We have talked about WP1, Flood Control Reservoir, quite a few times recently, but this is the reservoir proposed on 180th and Fort, and it's also John mentioned earlier when we were talking about the budget that we have some great momentum going, and this was one of those. We were the recipient of the Regional Conservation Partnership Program grant through NRCS for about $4.4 million for this project. And so why stop now, right? We're going to keep going after some funds. We thought it would be a good idea to apply for the Water Sustainability Fund to help with the local share. So we get $4.4 million through NRCS, and it's very specific where we can spend those dollars. It cannot be used at all for land rights or for fisheries or recreation features, very specific. And the $2.2 million for construction won't cover all of the construction costs. So we thought we would like to apply for a Water Sustainability Fund to help with that local share that we have to come up with. And we still have about $11 million of the local share, so we would request up to 60% of the eligible costs, so somewhere about $6.5 million is where we would request from the Sustainability Fund. And then we also, through management approval, we have a small contract with FIRA Engineering to prepare that Water Sustainability Fund application. If you remember from the WP 6 and 7, it's a really lengthy application process, and they helped us be successful, and they're very familiar with the economics of getting these projects approved. So with your approval, we request the opportunity to submit a Water Sustainability Fund for WP1.
You care and entertain the motion?
Second.
A motion is second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors?
Just one question.
Director Jeff.
Where does the Water Sustainability Fund get their money?
Direct appropriation from the legislature.
Okay. I assume that.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. Jim's on that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, as a member of that commission, they had, and it's been reduced by 4%, but there'll still be $9 million, $8 million available for review. As a member of that commission, I've rated and ranked all projects. Due to the silly current rule they have that I cannot vote on this, I'm going to, I'm not going to be silent on our project, but I would want staff with FIRA to come up with the point value according to the rules, and I would like to personally review that. There's nothing in the rules. Since I can't vote on it at a water sustainability meeting, I sure as heck want to review it before it goes forward to make sure that the maximum point value that we assign as a commission are applied to this project. So the other individuals on the committee, though, it's all subjective. You know, there's a 2, 4, or 6 points. Let's assign it 2. Let's assign it 6. To give an example, Lincoln submitted a project for the water system to tap the Missouri River. What a great idea. There's up to 6 points available for drinking water solution projects. The commission decided to give 0 points on that. Don't ask me why, but that's how it's subjective. Now, there's no guarantee we're going to get the money, guys, but I certainly hope that we apply for this project, and whatever sentiment is on the commission, at whatever point to rate and rank, I have to be silent on that, but before it goes forward, I'd like to at least make sure that we put in the right verbiage. These folks that look at it, the 12 people that look at it, say, that's a solution. This is not a drinking water deal. But, so, probably 0 points in that category. They get 14 other categories. So, do the homework on that, especially with FIRA or whatever we paid them, and make it as good as we can get it once it goes forward.
Thanks, Jim. Question for you, Amanda. Where is WP1 in relation to Flanagan?
So Flanagan's 168th and 4 Ida, up to Ida, and this is 180th. And
so is it on the west. Same tributary?
It is not. I mean, all for the West Papio. But.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Fowler?
Yes.
Keeser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes, thank you. Next item is... Woodward, review and recommendation on the City of Takama Wellhead Protection Plan cost share agreement. Paul?
Good evening. This project is similar to the one we discussed for the City of Springfield, and that Takama is currently in the Phase 2 groundwater management quality area we set up through the groundwater management plan. So as part of that, we said that if they were to prepare a drinking or wellhead protection plan, that we'd cost share 50% of that with them. Takama and actually Springfield both did apply for a source water protection grant. How do I move up on this one? Move up to the memo real quick. Still, the source water up a little bit. The source water protection grant there, a little bit further. They had got, it was applied to Department of Environmental Quality. And so in that, they did get quite a few of the funds to prepare what they call a drinking water protection plan, which is basically a wellhead protection area plan on steroids a little bit. They actually update the model of how long it takes water to get to the city's wells, things like that. So they were successful in that grant, so we were looking at really only splitting $15,000 as the local share. So we've updated that in the agreement. I think as you scroll down a little bit, Bill, to the actual recommendation. One thing I wanted to note there is that, so I think now the recommendation should say not to exceed $7,500 instead of the $30,000. That was something Brent had reviewed and put in there, so we'll get that updated, but if you want to amend that recommendation there.
Excuse me, instead of 30, what's the number?
Instead of 37,500. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7,500. Okay. Then just move down to the map here real quick. So the light blue area is the entire phase two that surrounds the 9 square mile area that surrounds the village for the city of Tecoma. We were actually able to get some extension of the flight lines for the AM stuff that's going on right now. So they'll actually fly this area. They can't fly in the city itself. They'll fly as much as they can around the city, trying to give us some better idea of that geology that occurs, because it's actually a little bit hard to distinguish. These two wells are drilled into the Dakota, I think somewhere around 180 feet deep. I think these wells that sit along, now you're getting close to the, in just a small distance, now you've gone into more of the alluvial of the Missouri River, stuff that's been washed away in geologic history, has been replaced by some sands and gravels. And so now these wells are in the shallower alluvium. So, and these, it's actually these deeper wells that the city's had problems with nitrates in. So, again, we have this huge question of, well, how are the deeper wells having nitrate problems and the shallower wells aren't? And what issues would Tecoma face in the future if, you know, they kept using these wells? So one of the things that we're proposing, kind of like in Springfield, we're proposing to do the vadose zone monitoring. Here what we would look to do is a pump test. So for instance, at this municipal well or this municipal well, we have this number of three different monitoring wells that we have there up in the cemetery. And those are screened in three different kind of layers, divided by aquitards or layers that really shouldn't let water or contaminants go through them. So one of the ideas is if we pump those wells and we see movement in our upper wells that are screened higher, what that means is that the groundwater is still being pulled down even through those supposedly dividing layers, and that there's, you know, that could have been caused by actually humans, or at some time the wells that were put out there were cased with just gravel around the outside, kind of that issue we've talked about for a while, where if you use the old, and they did, use the older standards for building a well, just outside the casing, you just backfilled with sand and gravel all the way down to the layer that you were pulling the water out of. So in essence, they could be pulling their own contaminants from the upper layer down into their well. And this test would actually kind of prove that theory, if that's the issue or not. And then we kind of know if that is or isn't the issue, we kind of know which way to approach trying to fix some of the city of Tecoma's issues. So, and it might be something where it's not a phase two area for a long time because we've kind of figured out what the issue is and we can address it without telling all the landowners they need to watch their nutrients and do all that stuff. So that's part of the reason we want to approach this the way we are. So let's kind of go back to the recommendation. The recommendation 9 is just to approve the agreement with the city of Tecoma. I think their plan is to work with JEO Consulting on, because they're their city engineer, on preparing this plan. So, with that, I would be happy to take any questions.
Would you clarify the amount and not to exceed amount that goes into the motion, Paul?
Yeah. Scroll back up there, please. And it's $7,500. So we would split that $15,000 50-50, and it would be $7,500 as a not to exceed amount.
Thank you.
Yep.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
I move a staff recommendation of the $7,500 amount.
Second.
Anyone in the public wish, any directors want to speak to this? Public comments from anyone? Roll call, please.
Fowler?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Greg Conley?
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Now we're moving to item 10, Zach Nelson. Good evening, Zach.
Good evening.
You're going to show us how to pump water at Fort Calhoun?
I'll do my best. So as you're all aware, we have two service areas in Washington County. Our number two service area is fed by the elevated reservoir from the city of Blair, and our what was the former number one water systems served from an MUD feed and is pressurized by two 50 horsepower pumps, essentially pumps hill up water from northern Douglas County into Washington County. The pump station was constructed in 1980. The pumps were replaced in 2006. However, the control system is extremely outdated, and the backup generator that is there is the original generator from 1980. In recent years, we've had issues with the control system having a glitch or just failing. And when there's a power outage, the generator not turning on, as well as us not receiving any kind of notification. So something we prioritized in the last couple of years was upgrading that control panel. They have systems now where you can receive text messages, pull up on an app on your phone, look at what the incoming pressure is, what the discharge pressure is, throttle the pumps up if need be. So that's something we wanted to do, as well as when the pump station was originally designed, it was built with a essentially a third well where you can install a third pump. So because of the growth we've had on our number two service area, the city of Blair later this fall is going to be doing some maintenance on their system so they can increase their capacity to feed us. As a result, we're going to have about a week time frame where we're going to have to pump water from our MUD feed throughout the whole system. That makes me extremely nervous because if something goes wrong there with outdated equipment, we're in bad shape. So we hired HDR to put together specifications and plans to add a third pump to the pump station, a new control system, and a new backup generator. You know, the project was advertised. We went aggressively to kind of get the word out to contractors. The engineer's original estimate for this project was $173,100. Unfortunately, we received one bid from Erickson Construction for $274,000. However, this is a project we need to do in order to ensure that, you know, when customers turn on the water, the water's there.
Move to staff recommendation.
Thank you. Second. We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors?
I always have a question.
Go ahead.
Have we ever switched over from one to two before? Pump water in the two from one?
Mm-hmm.
It's been successful.
Yeah, it's been successful. Yeah, we had an emergency situation last year where we had to pump water up to Blair, and it worked really well. So this is kind of something moving forward in the future as the system keeps continuing to expand. There's probably going to be another emergency situation like that in the future, so I'd like to be able to know that when we flip the switch, it works again.
Mm-hmm. There's only one bid that you said?
Yeah. One bid. Unfortunately, we did have someone that showed up late. Their bid would have been higher. Would have been over the $300,000. There's a number of different factors that led to the price increases. Some of it, I think HDR was just off on their engineer's estimate a little bit. Some of it's due to tariffs that have gone into the marketplace right now. Steel, everything from obviously, lumber, drywall, stuff like that doesn't impact this kind of project, but still anything construction-related has gotten out of hand, in my opinion. And then another one of my agenda items is going to be this project. We're going to finance it with an SRF loan. Unfortunately, in order to get that low interest rate, there's a lot of paperwork shuffle involved with it, and I think sometimes that plays into contractors'
bids. How much of the actual cost is just materials and equipment and so forth? Versus the labor to do the job?
So we have five different bid items, and unfortunately it doesn't decipher between what's the material and what's labor. If I had to guess, it's very material intensive. It's probably, if I had to guess, 75% material equipment. Okay.
Question about your pump station there. Now, you have two pumps. Are either of them variable speed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have VFDs on both of those, and this third pump will have a VFD on it as well, so we'll be able to it's a lot more efficient doing it that way and reduces wear and tear on the pumps.
Well, the third pump will be a new pump.
Correct.
Okay.
And part of that, too, was the two pumps we have, statistically, they should be going out. They haven't. And knock on wood, whenever we've had people out there to look at them, they've been operating really well. But there's two operators and myself, and we've gotten a ton of calls at midnight this last year. I don't want to keep rolling the dice. I just want that third pump in there so we know it works.
Point of information for you directors. I was standing next to that pump station when they activated that pump station for the first time, and it filled the building basically with water. Pipe came apart, something wasn't tightened up, and water at 440 volts don't mix very well, but they got it fixed and they got it back on. But it was some scary moment.
1921.
We've had some good luck. We've had that now for how many years?
Since 1980, yeah. I believe. So, when it started.
I encourage you to move right ahead with this. Are you ready to vote, Director Thompson?
Is there any downtime to the users, or will this be invisible to them?
If all goes well, it should be invisible to them.
Is there a notification going out to these folks saying, by the way, this is what we're going to do for you? And I'm seeing Jared from behind.
We can put something in there.
That's kind of general. We will go at extreme lengths to make sure nothing happens. Sometimes, unfortunately, it creates more panic than does good.
Well, Ted's going to show up. He's gonna say, I sure. Haven't showered for 2 days.
So, okay, roll call on the
motion, please. Well, I'm not on this.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Red Conley?
Aye.
Fowler?
Yes.
Esther?
Yes. And that concludes our agenda. You want to move right ahead with the FEL, or do you want to break?
It's Mr. T. Anybody
need a break? Being that, we'll move ahead. Call the meeting in order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted outside. And
Mr. Weiss.
With that, quorum call.
Bradley?
Here.
John Conley?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Fred Conley?
Here.
And Sherperson?
Here. And I failed to mention that Director Conley will take Director Weiss's place. Adoption of the agenda.
I move.
Second.
Roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes. Item 5, proof of publication of the meeting. I have it before me. Item 6, review of FY 2019 budget draft. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't go through it in detail as I did at the budget workshop. I will go just over the highlights. The required or requested tax levy is 0.037797. Total property tax requirement, $24,319,122. A total budget requirement, $71,368,203. Again, we talked about the budgeting process and how we obviously get together with the project managers and the accountants, and we figure out the estimated revenues as well as the estimated expenses. Remember, this draft will change when the second draft is prepared. We will not have final valuations until probably roughly the late part of August, maybe August 20th. We are anticipating a valuation increase of 2.5%. That was the baseline we calculated when we set the property tax for the revenue and the valuation. Again, we went in more depth on those specific projects and programs. This particular budget is pretty much the same as the budget before it, which was the same as the budget before it, and the budget next year will be similar to this budget. It does meet all the statutory requirements, LID requirements, and any other regulations that we are prone to follow. It is a balanced budget as required by state statute. We will have a public hearing or public input in August, and then we will actually adopt and set the tax levy at the September meeting for the budget to be sent into the state by September 30th. I believe that's the final thing. As discussed at the budget workshop, 90% of the revenue is generated in Sarpy and Douglas counties.
We are anticipating, again, the rural areas of the district will most likely have a negative valuation again this year. And then, however, the residential commercial, we're anticipating a little bit higher than 2.5, but we kept it there just to be safe in case we get some surprise. The if there's anything specific after you go through this and have any questions, anything, let me know. I pretty much covered everything pretty much in depth at the budget workshop, so I won't go through it ad nauseum again. But again, this is just the first draft, and it will change again as we get better estimates or as we get more information on certain projects or programs or other sources of revenue are coming in, or as projects maybe get completed and those are paid out, then those will be reflected in the next draft. So.
Yeah, please, Sean, you may have a comment. And if so, I'd ask you to keep it under 3 minutes. Thank you.
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. Essentially, all I want this evening, if I may request, are a few clarifications with respect to some items within the budget. On page one of the summary budget, the last line item reports a $15 million in reserves. If I could get the fund and the account, the page number on the budget and the dollar amount so I can understand a detail of what the reserves are made up of. On page 40 of the budget, the Alcorn Creek Drainage Project, there is a note on that page that says projected zero remaining balance as of June 30th of 19. However, you have a $21,000 reserve. I don't know if that needs to be transferred over to the general fund or the note needs changed. That's a question I had. And then on page 29 of 43, which is the watershed fund, during fiscal year 18 budget, there was $4 million that was budgeted from grants. However, that money did not come into the budget. My question is, why did it not come in, and what were the circumstances that allowed that not to be part of the actual dollars for fiscal year 18? And then the second piece of that is, would have that those funds not flowed into this fiscal year budget? And I do have these in writing. Any comments at this point on this?
It's better to go through your questions and then get you very detailed answers, and then we'll send them to everybody.
Okay, thank you.
That way there's no, we'd have that clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Any other comments before moving on?
Again, there's no action until...
Yeah. Item 7, review and recommendation of Washington County Rural Water System SRF loan for pump grade station upgrade project. Zach?
Good evening. So the project we just discussed for that Washington County Rural Water Pump Station, in order to pay for that project, I analyzed a couple of different scenarios. One was the system has, depending on the different time of the year, between $850 and $1 million in reserves, so it does have a significant reserve balance. I also looked at financing the upgrades through either, you know, private loan through a bank, as well as the SRF loan through the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services and DEQ. Their SRF loan program right now has an interest rate of 2.5%, which is paid back over a term of 20 years. Right now, with the way interest rates are rising, the existing CDs the system has will probably yield north of 2.5%, probably within a year. So I thought it was in the best interest of the water system to lock in this lower interest rate in hopes that our reserve funds yield more than that in CDs as well, as that way we have that money in case we have some kind of emergency. So the request this evening is for an SRF loan not to exceed $300,000 for the project that would cover construction costs as well as engineering time through HDR. Below, kind of in the memos, is kind of a summary of those costs.
Move to staff recommendation.
Second.
Any comments from the general public? Directors.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 11 of this proposal, at Q, American Iron and Steel Products, in a public law 113-235. Anyway, it says that American Iron and Steel has to be used, and anything you were mentioning about tariffs or so forth, is that going to elevate the price of this, or what do you think?
Yeah, well, and luckily, well, the way the bid documents are put together, the prices we have now, I mean, they have to stick to that price, and the turnaround time, we're requesting the contractor has this installed by October 15th. So any impacts as a result of labor and material fluctuations, they've priced into that already, so they're held accountable. Had we bid it out, let's say, 6 months ago or a year ago, it would have been cheaper. But essentially, yeah, there's a lot of there's Buy America Act, there's DBE requirements, there's a lot of documentation that goes forth with this. In this case, unfortunately, a lot of it doesn't apply because so much of it's just equipment. It's not like a huge pipe contract or a huge subcontracted project where you have 20 different subs and you have various different goals. This is about as straightforward as it can get, but there's still a lot of paperwork with it.
Well, I do want to say I approve and appreciate buying American Iron and Steel products for sure. But
any further comments?
One quick. Which one is this, for one or two or both? What is this one for?
The water system. Well, the Washington County Rural Water System's one single unit now.
Okay.
But it's both. It services both. Yeah. But it the pump station itself, what would have been the former number one system.
Anything else?
Just a note, too, on Wednesday, this requires 8 of the 11 members to vote in the positive.
Correct. So, yeah, there will be it's like a lengthy resolution in order to move forward with this. And then how it'll work, then there's the resolution and there's the actual agreement, then that the NDEQ or then put the final amortization schedule together, and John will sign off on that. I believe the turnaround time and all that stuff's about a couple of weeks.
Anybody else? Hearing none. Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Item 8, review and recommendation of legislative representation 01010043393, accounts over 110%. John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This covers all legal or legislative representation fees. As of 6/30/18, expenditure from that account totaled $121,697.56. With a budget of $110,000, that brings the count over 110%. This is simply due to a delay in billing, which resulted in a payment for fiscal year 17 services being carried over to fiscal year 18. There was no increase in the contract amount or no extra services that were paid for. It was simply a billing issue. We recommend approval.
I move approval of staff recommendation.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any comments from the general public? Directors. Seeing none, roll call.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Item 9, review and recommendation of Zernsky Basin 2 construction costs 02015584410, accounts over 110%. Amanda, good evening again.
Good evening again. So Zernsky Basin 2, we have a construction contract that started in March with Valley Corporation, and it spans over a number of fiscal years. And when we were budgeting, thought maybe they would do about $850,000 worth of work. However, with their last invoice through the month of June, that took them just over $1 million. dollars worth of work, and it doesn't change their contract amount. It just changes what we budget for the next fiscal year. So requesting approval to go over 110% to pay that last invoice to Valley Corp.
I move approval of staff recommendation.
Second. Any comments from the general public? Directors?
So the project's going well, obviously?
It is going well.
On
yeah.
time? Above?
Yeah, a little more dirt work than we thought they'd get done. So even surprising with all the rain.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Anybody else?
Well, I was going to say some of these over 110%, what's the matter? Oh, something's wrong. This is pretty cool. So, yeah, it's nice to have this kind of problem.
That's the schedule. That's good.
Let's move on to the roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes. In my understanding, items 11 and 12 are not going to be heard this evening?
We
do have an item 10.
Item 10. It's similar because...
I'm sorry. Review recommendations, WP5 Professional Services 02015544. 4,400 accounts over 110%. Way too much.
The last month of the fiscal year, you can see who is cutting their budgets too close, right? So this is to finish off the Prairie Queen Reservoir, and it was the professional services contract with HDR. So the last pieces of this were to put together all the as-built information, all of the shop drawings, and down to every last detail and agreement, and put that all together and package it up for us. And so their actual contract still has just about $300,000 of their not-to-exceed fee that we will not be spending, but it just took a little more to finish up that all those last details and package it up. So this last invoice closes out that project completely and closes out their contract, but it did unfortunately make that account go over 110%. So I think it was... $43,000, almost $500 that it went to.
Move to staff recommendation.
Thank you.
Second. Any comments from the public? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Aye.
Bradley?
Yes. Yes. And items 11 and 12 have been taken off.
Right, that's great. Next month, I think, just a few issues to work out.
Therefore, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I stay around on the Oh wait, one more committee. No, you start with Grant. One more committee.
Yeah.
Ad hoc. This will be short. Sorry, Lori.
Did you have a battery? Yeah.
There it is. All right.
Excellent. There you go.
All right. Everybody ready on this one?
Yeah.
Thought over the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee request for proposals for professional services. To update Papio, Missouri NRD multi-jurisdictional multi-hazard mitigation plan. Notification MEVAC. Quorum call.
Bradley?
Here.
Fred Conley?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Weiss? Actually, Thompson?
I'm here.
The Alder.
The Alder guy. Mm-hmm.
And chairperson.
Adoption of agenda.
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And chairperson?
Yes. And 5, group qualification, need notice. Item 6, review and recommendation of initial screening and proposals, consultant selection, Lori Lass. You have the floor.
We requested proposals to update the district's hazard mitigation plan. This is a plan that covers all communities within the district. They are allowed to participate, and therefore they get the benefit of being able to apply for federal funding in the event that that is available for hazard mitigation assistance. This has to be updated every 5 years. Our next update is due to be completed in June of 2021. We have a long process in far as we try to get a planning grant from FEMA to do the plan update. That can take anywhere up to a year to get the plan done, and then another 6 months for FEMA to review and approve that plan, which puts us at June of 2021 from today. So we solicited proposals from professional services firms. They were due on June 29th. However, we only received one proposal from JEO Consulting Group. They did do our last plan update, and we do feel that they will do a good job on this one. And so we are requesting that you waive policy for interviews, and we go directly to contract negotiation with JEO.
Anybody in the public want to speak to us?
Need a motion.
Oh, I need a motion. Need a motion.
I'll move.
Most staff recommendation.
Second. We have a second.
Ted.
Yeah.
And then Brent.
Okay. Anybody from the public? Any directors?
I have just a question. How is it publicized? We only got one. So how is it actually publicized?
So we put it in the World Herald. And we also maintain a list that's on our website. Consultants can go and sign up to be notified anytime we have projects going out for bid or requests for professional services. And so we have quite an extensive list of people who are signed up for that. So when we put that on the website, they're notified by email that is out there.
We did get a letter, too, from a firm that they declined.
Okay. Right. So. They're not. JEO is really the only firm in Nebraska that is doing this work at this time. And then we did get interest, but declining from a couple of other firms that are outside the area.
Do other NRDs also do these exact things?
Yes.
And they use JEO then, apparently?
I believe most of them do, yes.
They kind of got the market.
Not a lot of choices.
No.
Okay. Any other directors? Quick question. How many other communities, I mean, just rough approximately, are not included? I mean, how much have we changed that?
I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of there's about between 60 and 70 entities that are eligible in the district. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think, 39 in the last plan participate. Huh. So we're close. We kind of get a couple more each time. You know, some of the smaller communities don't necessarily see the benefit. They don't always have the resources to apply for the funding or anything, but we do try to work with them to get them included. Is it the same thing?
Thank you. Welcome. Can we get one more?
I mean, do we send out notices to these 60-some entities that we have this available to them?
Yes.
If they, okay.
Yes, we do have quite an extensive list. We send it to more than one person, you know, generally the administrator, the mayor, or county board chairperson, plus planning staff, public works staff. We try to make sure that we're getting every entity possible and as many as we can.
So if, say, the city of Herman, Nebraska wants to do this, and they pay us for the privilege of using this, or they just...
No, we just do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. And that completes
now your
agenda. No.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run for treasurer here.